Jeffy and Friends is taped in front of a live studio audience.
Man, this virus is everywhere.
Seriously, I'm pretty sure I saw a homeless guy selling vaccines on the subway.
I don't think that's real, but we are out of weed.
Damn it.
Hey, Dave.
Damn it, the key to my apartment isn't working anymore.
What? What do you mean?
The key to my apartment. I sold it to this tourist on the street. I told him it was the key to the vaccine.
Jesus, really, Dave?
Wow, that works? How much did you get?
Not nearly enough. Dave asked if he could sleep over my place.
Damn.
Does anyone knock anymore?
Do you have any idea who you sold it to?
Shit, nah.
Well, maybe we could make him a new key. Can't be that expensive.
Nope. He sold his lock last week as an AIDS cure to a guy from Maine.
Plum Love Foods Live, every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio.
Of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Plumber Foods Pod, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your Nissan claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I'm hitting the wrong volume thing there, Jeffy. That's loud, huh?
I like it loud.
You're getting it. We're doing.
Ow!
Oh, that was pretty good. Damn, that's like a metal singer.
Yeah, I got a little of that in me.
Yeah, that wasn't bad at all. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Plum Love Foods Live here on a Thursday, October 22nd, 2020. We are in the midst, Jeffy, the midst of the two 5-year-old children arguing on television as we speak. We're not currently watching it, but it is happening. Who knows how it's going to affect the restaurant industry as the industry seems to crumble a little more each day and each day thanks to the power of the one, the only evil monster in the world, COVID-19. It's retaking the restaurant industry. Numbers are going up. Presidents are going crazy. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
I don't know what to say. It's freaking me the fuck out, man.
It's the world that we live in right now, and I'll tell you what, I love it and would have it no other way.
All right.
Well,
let's do it. Shake it loose.
Maybe a different way, but it's still an interesting world to live in, I think. Listen, it's an interesting time to be alive, to say the least. I got to be honest with you. We all walk around now with masks on like we're old Cobra agents from the G.I. Joe cartoon, and no one even thinks twice about it anymore, Jeffy. I was in a distillery today wearing a damn Cobra Commander mask.
No, you weren't.
I was. Makes it very difficult to taste things and interview people.
I love it.
But it's the world we're in, man. It's the world we're in. It's funny because I kept, if you go back and check out all the pop-up episodes of this program that we did over the summertime. Well, not in the summertime. Over March, April. How long were we doing those, Jeffy?
We did them for about 2.5 months, and then we kind of died off with it because we were just over being in COVID.
Well, didn't we at one point declare it was over? We're like, hey, we win.
Probably. We may have.
I think it's a damn good... You know what we should do? We should get a doctor on here and revisit that a little bit. We should do that. We should get our buddy Faraz back on and see what's going on with that. See if there's any updates.
Oh, man. That would be... That's actually a smart thing to do because I need some doctors in my life to tell me what's going on. I can't watch the news and figure it out for fuck all. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm like completely confused.
The search function on WebMD is completely different now. Hang on, Hang on a second. Let me get that. The volume was low on it. You gave me nothing for it, Jeffy.
It went right over my head.
Well, listen. Here's the thing I'm talking about. I think getting an update from an actual doctor again, I think it's one of the things we did during the pop-up shows during, you know, the peak of COVID that we did very well is that we actually had medical professionals on, not like some PR written medical professional reading stuff. We had actual people who work in the front lines coming on and talking about it, which I think was a pretty cool thing. So we should get some of those guys back on, is what I'm thinking.
I think it's a great idea. I think we should get them on, and I think we should try to reach out to somebody in the CDC. That's what I want. I want someone from the CDC to help us understand.
He's probably got to connect.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We're gonna make some calls.
Make some calls. Talk to some people. Send some emails. Type out an angry email.
Yeah, angry email. Or, you know, you can just check in with me, and I can always give you a pointer. I'll let you know what the Bible says and, you know, what direction that'll take you.
Nice. All right. Well, we got a fun show tonight. This is a night we haven't done in a while. We have no guests. It's going to be us just hanging out. I'm sure some boys from the faction will be dropping by. You got your boy Plum, your boy Jeffy here. Jeffy's got some news for us. We, of course, have some kitchen horror stories as we get closer and closer to Halloween. What a great time to bring those on. And then also, a little later on tonight, we're going to be talking about Plum Love Foods Live Giant Poll. The Giant Poll is live on Instagram right now. You can see it's the biggest poll on the internet, clearly.
It's large.
Massive
poll. Huge.
Massive poll.
And, huge, tremendous poll.
It's the big-ass poll for the night, and you can find that at Chef_Plum on them Instagrams. We're asking, do you think that non-functional garnish, a.k.a. things on a plate just to make it look pretty, are okay? Let me tell you something, Jeffy. We're not going to talk about it now, but there's definitely some controversy going on.
Yeah, there's definitely some controversy.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of controversy going on that. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Much.
A lot of controversy.
It's going to be serious. I mean, I feel like the Good Brothers are split on this.
Oh, I don't think so. I think it's just you. But we can't. We don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
What?
Don't worry about that. That's a thing.
Who would do that? I don't even understand where that comes from.
Well, you know, it's an old saying from down south.
I feel like that's when people drink like moonshine over water.
Baby.
they had to tell people shit like that. Like, hey, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And it's like, oh, good call.
The Dave's chiming in calling us illiterate fucks. What's wrong? He didn't like the word chondrosophy?
I lied to write.
Listen, also, I think that we're all super excited coming up tomorrow on the Amazon, right? That's the Amazon video service. You know what I'm talking about, right, Jeffy?
I mean, the Prime Video Service? Ooh, Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah, that's what it's called. The brand new Borat movie comes out. And let me tell you something. He is already shaking the bee's nest with this. Have you seen any of the clips from it yet?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them, and I love them. They make me laugh.
Oh, my God. I mean, the clip with his... I don't even know if I want to give it away, but we're all such big fans of Sacha Baron Cohen. I mean, we have to just talk about it a little bit. I can't wait to see the movie. I don't know how you pull it off twice, but... The stuff with Rudy Giuliani, Jeffy.
Yo, shit is getting weird there, right?
It's fucking like, what are you doing? Basically, I'm not giving the movie away. I can talk this little clip, right? It just in looseness. His daughter is posing as a right wing, what'd you call it? Like blogger, Jeffy, from some website overseas, and she's interviewing Rudy Giuliani. Next thing you know, they end up in this hotel room, and it just gets so weird. They're having drinks together, and And then Borat comes in undercover and is like yelling that she's 15, and it looks like Rudy Giuliani starts taking his pants off. It's just the whole thing. Like, I was talking about it with my wife, and she's like, how do you even get in that position? I said, they're just so entitled, all politicians. Like, if you're a career politician like this jackass, you're just so entitled. The thought that that would ever happen to you never crosses your mind. Don't you think, Jeffy?
I'm blown away. I'm just blown away that he would let himself get into that position.
He's an idiot.
I mean, these are supposed to be the best and brightest in the world, right? The guys who were leading us around?
I guess.
I don't know.
I mean, world would you think it's okay to have if you're is old? I mean, what is he, 70? Let's just say 70. You're a 70-year-old man.
You want to hear something funny?
With a reporter.
Yeah, well, with a reporter. But, you know, the funny thing is I had a guy tell me that what he was doing was straightening his shirt. He's like, that's how I do it. He's like, every time I lay down in a bed, I have to, you reach in your zipper and you pull your shirt down and you zip your pants back up. You know, that's how you keep yourself nice. You look good on camera. I'm sure he was just adjusting himself.
That was the tweet that Giuliani put out, actually, defending what had happened. And I'm just saying, at what point do you think that's
okay? He's an older guy. I don't know. I mean, I guess older dudes, that's how they roll. I don't know. I don't know the deal.
Even before we even get to any of that part, just the fact that you're going to take a young reporter back to your hotel room, I mean, come on, man. And have drinks with her, that's not professional. You just left me hanging, Jeffy.
It's not professional. It's
what
it's
happened. Wait. We have to address this. What happened? It was dead silent there for a few seconds.
Well, because I was just trying to. I'm like, I'm just like speechless at how the fuck he gets these guys in these
you
situations.
Can't be speechless on a podcast. You have to keep talking. Like, the whole thing is about talking.
I can't believe that they're that stupid. It's so hard for me to believe that they're that stupid.
They are.
You know what I mean? Like,
they're entitled. Like, career politicians are just so entitled, they don't even think that can happen.
But I mean, with Borat, like, there's no red flags with that guy? Like, when
they
you meet him in person?
Him, apparently. He's in disguise. What? He's in disguise. Like, it's Borat in disguise.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like... This is freaking crazy.
I can't wait. I mean, the guy is a goddamn genius.
Production. I would love to see how he pulls all this shit together. He's a genius.
Oh, a goddamn genius. Thank the gods for Sacha Baron Cohen, right?
Absolutely, thank the gods.
What's happening over there? I feel like I'm missing something.
What are you missing?
I don't know. Like, are you riding a rhino or something? Are you having friends over and have a party? And we're doing the podcast, and you'd rather have the party?
No, not at all. What are you talking about?
Yeah, just a big delay when we talk.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I don't think there's a big delay. I have like I'm. I don't know.
Look, all that we need to know is, we can't wait to see the movie. That's what we know. The movie's going to be amazing. I can't wait to see it, and I'm looking forward to see how many other awkward situations there are. Have you seen the clip where he takes the daughter, and I guess she's having a cupcake that has a little baby on it, like a baby boy, you know, for like a wedding shower. I'm sorry, a baby shower or something. Have you seen this clip?
Yeah.
But she eats the baby, the plastic baby on top, and he's like, oh, I gotta get her to a hospital. There's a Catholic hospital across the street. He takes her over there, and she's like, there's a baby inside of me. I want it out.
He's ridiculous, man. He's ridiculous. Anything that he can push to the next level, he's on it. He's on it.
Like, thank God.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. He's like, he makes me laugh uncontrollably. There's a few people that do that. In his movies, all of them. I can go back and watch The Old Boy right now, and I'll fucking
crack fantastic
up.
Movie.
It's ridiculous.
Dude, the TV show was amazing.
Yeah, all the way back to Ali G. I'm telling you, I've always loved that dude. I think, I mean... Oh, man. He is just... He's a funny dude. He plays amazing characters. He never breaks it. Like, he's just so... And, I mean, have you seen some of his serious roles?
Yeah.
He's
a good actor.
I was blown away. I was like, this guy's like, he's really on it.
Is it weird that I feel like back in the day you dressed like Ali G?
Oh no, there's absolutely no doubt I dress like Ali G. I had academics. I had, you name it, man.
The weird sunglasses?
Not so much. I've always been sort of a Ray-Ban cat, you know, from way back. I just have a blues brother kind of soul.
All right. Well.
But the velour, I can't wait to be able to afford velour again, because now that I'm older, I need to get the Gucci velour. But that shit is pricey, son. Look,
let me tell you something. Good brother Young David wants to get everybody matching tracksuits.
Listen, I don't think I can go back tracksuit unless we're going to really slide in with the Gucci. Something like really crushed. You know what I mean? Something that makes you feel like better than other people.
Well, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it, man. I would love to have jumpsuits. I'd love to have velour. Yellow and black, or what colors do we do? Red and black?
I don't know, man. I'm very partial to purple in a velour or dark blue, like royal blue, maybe with a little like baby blue pinstriping or something. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, somewhere in there.
I always like the ones that don't match. Like, give me the green one with the red stripe down the back.
The green one with the red stripe down the back.
Yeah.
You were like a cross color dude then. You were more like, you know, you were ready with the cross color. You were back and forth with it.
Whatever it needed to be, Jeffy. Whatever it needed to be.
Yo, I'm telling you, man. I had the Adidas. Adidas?
$29.95 down in Chinatown.
Oh, man. Fresh Adidas.
Adidas. How is it spelled?
AD.
You get nothing!
What?
You're Adidas.
Adidas. It's just like it sounds.
Nice. Well, look, we're going to take a breather here. We've got the table set, I think. We are going to play a quick commercial break. I'm going to pop the top on a cold one, Jeffy, and get ready. I suggest anyone out there does the same thing. When we come back, we're going to check in on our big-ass poll. That's right, the Plum Love Foods Live big-ass poll for the night. Get in there, get your votes in there on the Instagrams, @chef_plum. Talking all about non-functional garnish. Does it have a place in the world? We're going to find out. Yes. And listen, we all know, Jeffy, if you have a question about anything in the world, you ask the internet, they will answer.
They always answer.
The internet will tell you everything.
Oh, man. You could find any... And if you have a question... Just ask the interweb.
They know it all.
Someone will come with an answer. Because there's experts.
Well, we have microphones, so we're experts.
Well, anyone who has a keyboard is an expert.
Oh, that's true. Ask anyone on Yelp. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy Chef Plum. It's your boy Chef Jeff. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
Every 100 years, an idea comes along that changes the way we think.
It's one small step for man, one giant step for man.
It molds us as people, outlines social norms, and brings us full circle in life.
Go ahead, son. Fetch that cleaver and stump. It's time to take out that cock.
Mommy, where does chicken meat come from?
Yeah, how do we kill these chicken to eat now when we raise them, Trevor?
A dream turned into a reality. So inspiring, so creative, it needs no introduction. Chef tested, poultry farmer approved, and endorsed by the Church of Jesus and Latter-day Saints. Introducing Cock Blocks, the first cutting board guillotine designed to lock in that cock just before you lop its top. Comes complete with ergodynamic blood pool, adjustable leather straps, 3 blade choices, and a face splatter shield just in case. Now you can take your cock harvesting to the next level. Take it to Cock Blocks.
Order now online, www.cockblocks.com. That's blocks with XXX. The first 100 orders will receive a free child-size splatter shield.
a Sizzle Plate product.
Oh yeah, Dave, Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinsui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com.
Yeah. Coming in. Yeah. Flex. I just wanna win. Yeah. LA BB, who we running with? Yeah. 2-2-3-3, I'm on 10 again. Yeah. State your name. Bibbing dope on flame. I just switched the lanes. Damn, he did it again. I just flipped the pain. Stripping and dipping in bass. Slab on everything. Swimming, you shaking away, cause I got big racks coming. I put my low racks on it. I ain't skip past losses, I had to get back off it. See the fit lab on it until they whip my coffin. Money clip, I tossed it. I heard it's big bags on big bags on big bags coming. Coming in.
Yeah. From the Cruise Live right here on a Thursday. Checking out this new cut I just got from this dude named HD Ben Dope. I'm digging it. It's called Cayman.
Fire.
Not bad, right? Kind of dig it.
No, I'm digging it. I like the beat.
This dude's awesome. I think he's a freestyler, too.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
It's your boy Chef Plum, Chef Jeff here at Plum Love Foods Live. We are kicking it right now. Good brother Chef Dan's joined the program. What's up, homie?
Yo, what's going on? How y'all doing?
Dan!
We all right, man. Crank that mic up a little bit on me for me, bro.
Am I really low?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, I gotta be like right up in this thing.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. That's
yeah,
all
you
right.
Know what I
mean. That's how I like.
Yo, we got obviously tonight, you know, we're talking about the Plum Love Foods Live poll. It's the biggest poll on the internet, Dan. Would you aware of that?
I am absolutely aware of it. Everyone's talking about it.
We got the biggest poll ever, honestly, and our biggest poll you've ever seen.
Huge poll.
It's the biggest poll you've ever seen. Tonight, our poll said, do you think non-functional garnish, things on a plate that just make it look pretty, are okay? Let me just clarify what that means, if you don't mind, before we all jump into this. Because I could feel Jeffy chomping at the bit. You know, I'm talking about things like, I'm going to put this sprig of kale here for no fucking reason, except for it adds green leaves to the plate. I'm going to throw parsley on the plate for no fucking reason flavor-wise, just because it makes it green. I'm going to put a sprig of rosemary here for no reason whatsoever, except for it looks like there's now a stick on my plate. Or finally, you know, I'm going to put some sriracha sauce on the rim of the plate because it looks cool. And I'm not saying anybody in particular, I'm just saying I've seen people do that on the gram. Gentlemen, I think about that. And I look currently, our poll, just so you guys know, a little disturbing, it's 41% yes and 59% no. Non-functional garnish are not okay. Jeffy, you and I have had this conversation in private before.
Yeah. Listen, I'm an artiste, man. I'm Bob Ross of this motherfucker, okay? Happy little trees going everywhere. Little bush, I've thrown it on the plate. If it looks nice, it's where it lives. You know what I'm saying?
No.
What can I do?
But if it's on the plate, it should be edible and make sense.
I disagree.
All right, Dan, break the tie.
I've never been so disappointed in Jeff.
Ah! Hold up.
I'm really disappointed. Yo, fuck that non-functional garnish shit.
Yo, man.
It's surprising,
isn't
it?
You hate on me like I'm the $1 million man over here, right? You hate on me because I'm so beautiful.
Look, we've both cooked with you. Jeffy, we recognize your level of skill, right, Dan?
Oh, absolutely. You're a fantastic chef. I'm not taking that away from you.
Right.
But just
that surprises
random
me.
Nonsensical bullshit on a plate that doesn't make any sense or function in any way other than maybe an eye wink of color is completely unnecessary.
See, I came up in kitchens like Danyo, God rest his soul. He would say, put a bush on it. Everybody likes a little bush. And that's what he would tell me in the kitchen. And I would make a little, and we would make little bushes. We would like tie little bouquets of like herbs and different types of little bushes. And you know, the goulash would get a little bush on it. You know, it was like pretty. It smelled beautiful. I'm telling you, man, he had this whole thought. Like he was a fucking smart dude.
I'm not hating on him, but what year are we talking?
Well, I mean, I'm old, man. You want me to date myself? Fine. We're talking like late, mid 90s. You know what I mean? Like shit was real.
I can't. It's hard to argue that, Dan. I mean, that time frame was about the time frame where everybody was just throwing shit on plates for the fuck of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what we all did? We kind of learned and we kind of grew up and we're like, nah, we're not doing that shit anymore.
That's where I was going too. Like, I ain't doing that no more. That's got to make sense.
No, fuck
motherfuckers
that.
Be putting just microgreens on a plate for no reason.
None.
Except, what if? I mean. Don't you put microgreens on a plate when they echo the flavor of whatever you're doing?
Yes, if it makes sense, yes. Absolutely, okay. If it makes sense.
Well, that's what I do with the bushes, too. Like, the bush is a herb that's in something, you know what I mean? Like, if there's the goulash,
yeah,
it's like the...
Just take a bite out of the herb?
Nah, man, it's on there to look beautiful. You just push it to the side and then continue to eat.
But you eat the micro...
The microgreens you eat, yeah. The good ones, man. If I put a little red vein sorrel on it, I'm expecting someone
that's
to snack it.
That's your shit right there, the red vein sorrel. That's your jam.
I love to do it. Shout out to my boy Jeremy Blutstein. We don't really know each other well, but we're Instagram buddies. We like to talk shit. But he's my inspiration. He's my inspiration to like it so much because he hates it, and I just you know,
Dan, for you, if you're garnishing a plate, what are you putting on it?
I mean, that's determined by the plate I'm garnishing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, are you thinking like you're going to mix some kind of green in there, some kind of herb in there, obviously based on what you're cooking? Are your garnishes going to make sense with your dish, or are you just going to put something like a little swirl of sriracha sauce for no fucking reason?
No, there's always a reason. So I would say as opposed to parsley, which serves to me no purpose, I will tend to sprinkle a little cilantro because a lot of times the flavors that I use and the dynamic of flavors I want, cilantro usually kind of tends to go with it, meld with it a little bit better than just parsley, which is kind of just grassy and it's refreshing, but it doesn't really add too much to the dish, where cilantro adds that like robust flavor that, you know, kind of softens whatever usually I got, you know, some spice or something going on.
Well, I was going to fight you there a little bit because I think actually chopped parsley is fantastic when it's on the right thing. It's actually really good, adds that little brightness to it, a little freshness to it. I think it makes a lot of sense on some dishes.
Yo.
Like tabbouleh. If I'm making tabbouleh, you add parsley. Parsley,
that shit tastes like
key,
shit to begin with.
Component.
It's all parsley. Yo, listen, man. You guys manscaped. You guys are like fucking weak.
What does that have
to
do
me
with anything?
Yeah, I shave my balls.
Like, yeah, man. Like, why?
Weak. You can't say that causes weakness. What's wrong
with
you?
That's a weak. I feel like because you hate on people's garni.
Look, let me tell you something.
Don't be hating on the garni, bro. Don't be hating on the garni. Some people like to let it hang. Jeffy. You know what I'm saying? You got to like.
Non-functional garnish.
Right.
If it's functional, you can garnish. There's no one saying you can't garnish. I'm an advocate for garnishing, but it has to serve a purpose. It has to be there for a reason other than what it looks like, because you should be building your dish to kind of the components. You taking some, like you're talking about the sorrel, you know, the color in the sorrel, but you also looking at that bitterness that the sorrel adds to the flavor component of the dish.
Time out real quick, gentlemen. Time out. I need to address the elephant in the room here. Jeffy was making fun of manscaping. I'm going to give you a piece of advice, Jeffy. I got a long time ago. You ready?
Hit it.
Trim the bushes and the tree stands taller.
Ooh. All right.
Thank you.
I just, no, man. Happy little trees, happy little bushes. That's all I got.
But Dan's right. If it makes sense, it makes sense. So I'm down with it then.
Oh. I think it's important to make it make sense. Like, I wouldn't just, like, throw, I mean, I've done it to be a smartass. like, you know, take a sprig of rosemary and stick it out of the top of something because I think it's funny.
Yo, you're going to do dinner for me and do that shit for every plate just to piss me off.
Absolutely. Knowing that you hate it, I would actually go out of my way to make sure that everything had a garnish that made sense in a way that you would fucking hate it, but it would not be edible. Like, and I would spend $1,000 on shit to put on your plates.
Yo, let me tell you something right now. Coming in here on Instagram, Chef Jonathan Leff, L-E-F-F, chimes in. He goes, as long as it's edible, it's okay. The garnish should work with whatever is at the center of the plate. I mean, maybe you get a little into it, worried about the center of the plate and all that crazy shit, but just as long as it makes sense with the dish is all I care about. Dan?
Yeah.
I agree. Sometimes I've heard the case with the rosemary sprig that you put it in the oven a little bit or put it on a grill and then you place it on a plate and it's supposed to add an aromatic effect to your dish. Not a lot of people do that. They do just put the rosemary in it. So, I mean, if that was your effect, like I've seen it where people they light it on fire and cover it and then open up the dish and then you get that.
It smells like burnt sticks.
Rosemary? Yeah, it smells like fire.
That's it.
I like if it goes with the dish, it's dope.
Yo,
stop hating.
If you love the rosemary sprigs or something, you want to put them on the plate, do a kebab. Fucking use that rosemary stick as your fucking kebab stick and put your meats through it and do it that way.
Then it's all rosemary.
Delicious.
Yeah, and it's nice. But I don't know. All I'm saying is that you shouldn't hate because people, like, it depends on where someone's coming from. Like, some people really plate like art, you know what I mean? Like, they really go out of their way to, like, do the squiggles and stuff like that. And all those things that they're squiggling on those plates are in the dish. They're different flavors that go with it in their mind, you know what I mean? And they're also trying to, like, paint a little picture, you know? They're trying to make a little something beautiful on a plate. You know, I can't hate on that.
Chime in here on the Instagram, Mr. Determination's Food, our boy Tomas. I haven't talked to him in a long time. He wrote a long ass thing. I'll read a little bit of it. He says the standard has been a garnish should be functional, but every plate should speak of the dish, its origin, why it works, glimpse of the experience you wish to provide the diner. As far as a garnish, multitude of reasons. One of the more common being one of the ingredients incorporated into the dish, subtle elevation to the final product, visual appeal, and some signature. You know, he's got a whole bunch of other stuff here, Tomas. I can't read all that bullshit, man. You got to shorten it up. I mean, literally, he's got like 15 paragraphs. My point is this. Like, when you read something like that, and that's my dude, I think he's a sweetheart of a guy, you're overthinking it, bro. If it doesn't make sense, don't put it on the fucking plate.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that I'm with you. If it looks like shit and it doesn't make any sense.
I don't care if it looks like $1 million on the plate. If it doesn't make sense, don't put it on there.
But wouldn't one argue that it makes sense because it looks like $1 million?
No. The dish is about the flavor, not about what it looks like. I don't give a fuck what the dish looks like.
So you're saying that you don't eat with your eyes at all?
Were you starting a motorcycle?
Yeah. Yeah, that's me. I'm just like, you know, winding up. Get me swing.
Yeah, I think you definitely, the people who say eat with your eyes first, I don't think they're chefs. I mean, clearly. To me, I mean, look, there's nothing beautiful about looking at a fucking burrito, but it's delicious, and that's all I care about.
All right, so you're saying there's nothing pretty about a burrito?
Yeah, I think burritos are beautiful.
All right, let me pick something else. There's nothing beautiful about looking at a pan full of sloppy Joe.
I mean, all right.
Fuck, is that not work either? Hold on.
Why are you hating on a sloppy Joe, dog?
It's no hate. The point.
I hear what you're saying.
Who's trying to make it on a soundboard? Look, we got young David joined the program. Dave, you're hearing all this infighting amongst the faction. Can you chime in here and help out?
I mean, I see both sides. I don't know. I like to, like, instead of using butcher's twine, I'll use rosemary to, like, seal up the ass end of a chicken.
What you got? Like, flexible? Was that like vines in Detroit?
No, he makes just like a stick. He'll, like, make a stick.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I follow you now. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Like, I like that.
He'll sew it up.
But you don't leave that in the bird when you serve it, though.
I mean, usually the bird's cut, but if it's like sitting at a table, then it's gonna stay. Be like, haha, look, it's rosemary. But you want to take all the aromatics out of it anyway. So
here's what I want to have happen. Dan and I are gonna go to a dinner. Jeffy's gonna cook it, and Dave's gonna present it. Haha, it's rosemary.
I'm all over it.
Listen. So this is the other thing that I've done, and I did it because I saw 11 Madison Park do it, and I stuffed the bird with a bouquet of fresh herbs and like different like flowers and stuff like that, bring it to the table and show everybody, bring it back in, carve it up, and serve it. I mean, because it looks pretty. It doesn't serve any other fucking purpose except that it looks pretty in the whole. I mean, is that wrong?
I like it.
I mean, I don't know if wrong is the right... I mean, you're not... That's tricky because you're doing table side situation there. You're like, hey, look at this. And then you're going to carve it up for him. No, I don't think that counts. I think more along the lines of if you make a beautiful cheese, a charcuterie like tray, you know, for an appetizer for a party or something, and you start throwing fucking rosemary sprigs on it for no reason at all because it's fall.
All right. Now I'm going to take it further. Sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
No, go ahead. I can go after.
All right. Well, all I'm saying is. Then everybody gets, with their carved chicken, another little bouquet of the same herbs that look like that were inside the chicken their plate.
What are they supposed to do with that?
It looks sexy. It just feels like congruent with the rest of it. It looks nice.
But you don't everybody you like, eat it. Why is it on the plate?
When you're eating, Dan said, you know, you warm it up a little bit. You get the natural oils in it going, so it smells beautiful. Someone picks it up. It's like, ooh, they get a little waft of it. It's like part of the experience.
We need another chef here. We have uneven numbers. I'm not sure what to think. Dave, you didn't help break the tie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I've used flowers and like stuffed squash because I wanted it to look like one of those like gorgeous.
What'd you say,
what's
that? Jeff?
Just stand on this side, Dave. Come on.
Yeah, he wants you to cross the line. Listen, let me tell you something right
now. As long as you can eat it, I mean, you know, whatever.
I don't mind flowers on it either, so long as they make sense, because flowers do have flavors that you can taste, and they work with the dish.
Yeah, but I mean, I was even using, like, borage flour and shit, and everybody knows borage sucks, but I used it anyway.
It's like stop talking shit.
What's
up?
It's
like cucumbers.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a poor example.
How's that a board? It's like a fluff ball.
Oh my gosh!
And fuck that shit on my plate. Why don't you just put like a fucking cotton ball?
Because I wanted it to look like.
Let's just put some
flowers inside.
You mean bachelor's cotton, or do you mean borage? Borage are the little blue star flowers.
I could put a little painting on the bottom of my plate. I could fucking just draw some shit. I could put a little stick figure like on my plate and be like, look, it's cute. What? Come, you know, fuck that. Like, if you can't eat it and it doesn't serve a purpose to the plate, it's completely pointless. I mean, sure, it looks nice, but I'm not there to look at the plate. I'm not paying money to stand there and go, oh, wow, this is beautiful, and then walking out the door. I'm there to eat it. And
well, then
you
can
put all the beautiful shit on you want. If you want to put that fucking flower on a sloppy Joe, it might look a little prettier, but is it going to taste the same? Like, fuck that flower. Fuck all the extra shit. Like, does it make any sense?
Restaurants spend so much on their flatware and their plates, then it's like nobody gives a fuck about the plates.
Hold on, guys. Well, are you?
I'm going to open a restaurant and be like, take the plates because nobody gives a fuck about the plates.
Paper plates? You think paper plates?
I mean, honestly, we're talking 2020. People don't give a fuck about the plates.
That's true. Yeah, everything's into goes.
Yeah, yo, look at where we're at right now. It doesn't fucking matter. And people still love it.
Time out.
It tastes good. It tastes good.
Yeah, that's true. But you guys, you're saying like nobody cares, you know, if it looks really good and blah, blah, blah. Have you not noticed influencers and like all the fucking people that are taking pictures and all the people on the fucking web that's all they do is like take pictures of pretty plates and stuff like that.
Come on,
it's like it's like a whole culture.
How many flowers you see on that shit?
I put flowers on my shit,
dude.
Yo, I see a cheeseburger on a fucking napkin, and I'm like, hell yeah, I want to eat that shit.
I want to eat that shit too, but
Jeff's losing his mind over there. We got to give him the floor for a minute.
No, I'm fine.
No, you're not.
I'm fine.
He's blowing his microphone out.
I'm upset. I just don't understand how you guys can hate so much on garnish, because it's garnish. Like I worked at a
non-functional garnish.
Yes, you're missing the very, very important word there. Non-functional garnish.
Have you ever seen Thai food and, like, all the shit they put all over it that doesn't fucking actually make sense and you don't eat?
I eat all of that.
You eat all of it, kind of, but some of it's, like, just extra shit all over the plate, like a fucking orange that's cut pretty and, like, with another fucking little fruity thing on the side. Like, they make little apples and shit and put it around.
Those oranges are for, like, if you get some super spicy fucking
food. Yeah.
You eat that shit.
Let me tell you something for real, though. I worked at a Thai restaurant, and some of those things, when they come back off the plate, if they look like they weren't touched, they throw them in a bucket of ice water and then put them on another plate. So don't be eating those shits.
I always hate them.
I'll tell you what, they take a feel. That's why you can't get COVID. Because you got
that's why you can't get COVID.
Eating fucking garnish like a monster.
Come on, man.
All right, but you know what? Kale used to be a non-functioning garnish, and it's kind of just turned into its own thing all on its own. Like, it's just
I remember,
like,
back in the day, we were throwing little leaves of kale on fucking every plate. We're like, here's this leaf of kale.
You'd be like, oh, that's what my tartar sauce came on, the little container.
Oh,
what's up?
Yep. I come from the fucking land of twist of lemon, parsley sprig, out the window, go. That is... Like, that's how every plate left the goddamn kitchen. Everything got, hey, whoa. Twist the lemon, put the parsley on it. All right, cool. Get it out there. You know, that was like real talk.
Yeah. But now people are eating kale, and it's become functional.
And then it became balsamic drizzle.
I mean, the balsamic drizzle has its, like,
no.
It has its place, but it's not like, it should never really just be a garnish.
Well, if it's okay, you're right. If it makes sense, I'm okay with it. But I mean, literally, just it's very dated to use that balsamic drizzle bullshit.
I mean, if you're meant like
fresh heirloom tomato salad, and that's it.
That's what's up with some goat cheese. Maybe that'd be fire. Some fresh mozzarella. Just make like fucking
drizzle. I just hate that word,
drizzle.
Yo, I think for me, it's just I want the dish to be complete. I want it to taste good, and I'm afraid that every single time you go in there and you do the twist of lemon, parsley sprig, a little bit of kale, it's, you know, and I'm generalizing here. I'm using that as just like a broad example. Does it mean you don't care anymore? Like, you didn't care enough to think of a better garnish to put on that plate. And let me tell you something, gentlemen. I have that question, and I brought in the fifth man, a man who has been requested to be on the program very recently. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chef Frank Bilotti. Frankie!
What's up, guys?
Hey!
Yo, Frankie.
Hey, Gabagool!
What are you doing?
Hey, you hear us in here. We're infighting. We're having some brotherly fighting about non-functional garnishes, Frankie.
Well, here's my thing about garnishes, okay? Like, I mean, every plate should look nice at somewhat. So, like, if you only have a little bit of parsley... Throw some parsley on that.
He's on your team, Jeff. I didn't expect that.
Of course, I'm with Jeff.
I can't believe you called
Jeff. I was rooting you on as I'm listening.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, I can't believe you called Frank Bilotti in. Frank Bilotti is the creator of the dolphin shrimp and the flaming pineapple.
I was going to say. I was like,
this is a real story.
I don't know if we want Frank on our team.
Oh, I'll show you up any given day. Do it.
He's getting aggressive now. Well, Frankie, you're not going to just put things on the plate that don't make sense, right?
What? I mean, you don't just throw anything on the plate, but, I mean, it has to be edible. That's one thing. You shouldn't throw anything on a plate that's not edible, like a rosemary sprig, like a sprig.
Hey, there you go, see?
Half a pineapple.
Half a pineapple.
You know, what, you never ate a pineapple?
Hey,
who never ate a pineapple?
Sorry, Frankie. I should have warned you. This is straight into the shark's tank right away. I should have given the heads up.
No, it's fine. I'm ready for it. I'm all tuned. I'm ready for it. I just watched the debate. I'm ready to go against anybody. Ask me anything.
Hey, look. So let me ask you then. We're gonna go back here. Let's just check on the Instagram. We'll check out the Plum Love Foods Live. Big ass poll. It's the biggest poll on the internet that we all have here on the program. Let's see where we're at right now. How much has changed or where we're at? Let me just get my Instagram up. Here we go. Still at 41-59 on that. So most people tend to agree that if it doesn't make sense, it shouldn't be on the plate, Jeffy. But
that's too vague. That's too vague. I mean,
I think it's pretty straightforward.
No, it's not. You can throw a flower on there. Not everybody's eating the flower, but everybody's eating with their eyes first. And everybody's taking a picture of your plate. So you don't have to sit there and take a bite of a purple flower and be like, oh, that doesn't compliment my shrimp. Go fuck yourself.
Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, but what if I'm making a beautiful shrimp dish and I have a beautiful purple flower that does complement the flavors and really takes it to the next level?
Oh, then use it. Absolutely. Ooh. Throw a lemon wedge on that. Obviously,
throw a fucking lemon wedge on that.
Yo,
and I'm willing to bet.
Get validated and it feels so good.
Let me tell you something right now, and I bet your fucking lemon wedges, you don't even take the fucking seeds out, do you, you asshole?
Yo. Okay. Listen, I'm the source.
Are they going to eat the fucking lemon?
Jesus.
What?
I don't want the lemon seeds on my plate, dude. If you're going to put a lemon wedge, take the seeds out.
It's natural. It's organic.
Ooh. Ready? I put mine in a little.
It has, like, shit ton of seeds.
Oh, no. Those are terrible.
You got the little bags. I got the little bag that you put it in.
Condoms?
Yeah, the little natural bag, and you pull a little drawstring, and you put the little lemon in it. It looks so cute.
Yeah.
And then you rip the plate with parsley.
And then I just throw. I have pink tip parsley. Ever seen that? It's beautiful.
What's it taste like?
It tastes just like parsley, but it has pink tips.
Oh, just like marijuana.
No.
Hey,
I'm enjoying some of that.
It's interesting how divided people can be when it comes to this sort of thing. It really does kind of blow my mind. I thought for sure that we'd all be on the same page here, but it sounds like we're not. I mean, in the end, for me personally, there's some things that are pet peeves for me. And I'm just saying that as a chef, the pet peeve to me. I'll tell you the three things off the top of my head right away. Non-functional garnish makes me fucking crazy. When I was judging the National Restaurant Association Pro Start program, I was dinging kids for it left and right because they do it all the time. And I'm fucking taking points off their shit because they were fucking putting non-functional garnish. Yeah, it's a little harsh, but got to learn at some point, right? Two, if you give me shrimp on a plate to eat in like a pasta or some shit like that, take the fucking tails off. If you want me to eat it with a fork, take the tails off. If you want to use my fingers, keep them on.
It's got flavor.
No, you should take that off. If you're going to be making a shrimp.
Like a scampi.
A scampi.
Tails off.
Scampi with pasta or without pasta?
You get the pasta, but you still like your shrimp.
You get
top
the scampi on the top, on the side. Yeah. I'm with David on this.
Because
I like it a little done, and I like to crunch the tails because I'm a fucking animal. You know what I mean? I like to eat the little
anomaly. Like regular people don't want to put shrimp tails in their mouth.
No, there's a lot of people who do that, like me. There's a lot of animals who eat the cartilage on the chicken wing, all of it, and then crunch on the
shrimp. Dan, chime in here. We're all talking at once because we're getting so fired up. Everybody will get their chance. Don't worry, Dan. What do you think?
Well, if we're talking about head-on shrimp.
No, we're just talking about shrimp. You know, the shrimp on the plate that people use.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, but we're talking about shrimp scampi. I mean, if we're going to take the tail on, we might as well keep the head on. You get the head on, then you can suck the head, you get all the juices out the head, and then not as a whole and whole flavor thing. Right?
Yeah, but that's not it's anymore. That's a gambas, no?
I mean, I don't give a fuck. I'm just saying, wait,
Frankie's making up words. What word was that?
It's a gambas.
Oh, yeah. That's the same dudes that they fought on fucking Hoth on Star Wars, right?
What the fuck did you say?
What do you mean? That's what it is.
It's a gambas, you mean that, Jeffy.
What's a gambas? You mean like a... Does that mean shrimp in Italian?
No, in Spain, Spanish.
In Spanish.
In Spanish?
Yeah, it's Spanish.
Oh, in... You definitely watched the debate. I heard Trump was on fire. You sound like him right now. You're like, it's Spanish.
All right, listen.
Come on.
Tails on shrimp.
That is
it's a dish, I'm telling you.
All right, look. We're going to get past it. We're going to get past
it. Garlic shrimp. Anyway.
If there's shrimp and you want me to eat the shrimp with a fork, do you leave the tails on, Dan?
No.
David, same question.
I put shrimp and pasta, and sometimes I'm like, you know what? I want you to eat that shit with your hands. So it just depends. Man.
Fuck, you don't even have shrimp in Detroit. Y'all got them fucking. We serve like frogs that look like shrimp or something.
Man, we get so many shrimp, we get iodine poisoning. All right, so
Frankie, I believe if you're having shrimp, and you want me, and you give it to me, and you want me to eat it with a fork, should it have a tail on it?
90% of the time, no.
I don't know what this 90% of the time bullshit is, but all right, I'll take it.
That's the majority. I'm giving. Nice, a lobster tail of a shrimp. I want you to be able to see that.
For what though?
I don't know. Just that it's a little bit more aesthetically pleasing to see that instead of, I don't know. And I like to just like pop it out. Boom. You're not eating that with a fork. I mean, you're not just picking that up one shot with a fork.
You're gonna cut it. That's all right. All right, Jeffy, you're the breaker. You're the breaker. Here.
This is the thing for me, is if it's in the dish, like if it's a pad thai, or like if it's like, you know, angel hair with like shrimp sauteed into it, you know, with olive oil or and garlic or something like that, I take the tails off. But if it's a scampi and I'm gonna add it to the top of like a pasta or put it like barbecue shrimp on top of grits with the heads on, I'll also leave the tails on, and there'll be big, fat, giant shrimp.
No heads. And no, we're not playing the head game. That's a whole different situation.
But I do both. I'm just saying, I do both, and I expect you to eat at your fucking discretion. And there's also, like, you know, like salt and pepper shrimp. You know, I definitely leave the tails on. You know, but
eat everything out with the salt and pepper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
what?
I think it's...
What do you call salt? I want to clarify. Salt and pepper shrimp, what are you talking about there?
That's like I think it's Chinese, and it's the shrimp are like you marinate them a little bit, and you know,
fry them. They're small,
and you fry them, and then they you eat the whole thing, all crunchy, like shell and all.
A different story then. Different,
yeah,
dish.
Different
I'm
dish.
Talking about 1620 Gulf shrimp.
All right, what about like in bouillabaisse? I leave them on.
I take them off. Dan?
You know what? No, I'd make a shrimp stock separately.
Thank you.
Yes, I agree with you, Dan.
All right. This
I'm
is
talking
my...
about, like...
Do you leave the mussels in the shell, then? And do you leave the clams in the shell? But you take the shrimp tails off?
It's a really fucking good question, Jeffy. No, it's a really good question. You're bringing up a really good point with the whole topic here. I will tell you that I do... when I cook them in... I clean them and cook them in the shell. And then if I'm serving something like that, I will take them out. However, you just busted me because then I'll use some to garnish with, and that's non-functional garnish, and that's me going against my own rules.
Booyakasha!
But I'm man enough to admit it and tell you that, and rest assured from this point on.
That's manly to tell me that, you know, validated and it feels so good.
Even though I manscape.
I'm a hairy dude, man.
Trim the bushes.
I got a mushroom in a forest.
I think.
Did you just get my joke?
No, but we were saying we were talking at the exact same time with exact opposite things. We were saying like it stands tall, and I said I have a mushroom in a forest, and you were saying my tree stands tall.
it's like when you did that PSA for that company, that group Mamped. That remember them?
Yeah, I definitely remember them. I'm a proud member. I mean,
right.
You know. Like co-founder and shit.
Frankie, what do you think when it comes to that? You're doing a bouillabaisse, like you have the shells. What do you think?
See, I think you should be making the shells, the stock separately. But then again, Jeffy's right because, I mean, you're going to be doing the, you know, mussels and clams.
You're doing it separately, but you're still throwing, I mean, you don't put shrimp in your bouillabaisse?
A shrimp stock, or I'll use the shells in it when I strain it.
All right. Yeah. I just throw that shit in it, too. I'm like, fuck it.
Maybe. You have to keep talking. I'm trying to grab a beer.
Oh, no, yeah, we get them. But, yeah, so...
It
I
depends
definitely,
on how I'm, what I'm making it for.
I feel like
what I'm making it for.
16, 20, and smaller, you should take the tails off. That's the end of my story.
There you go. Like... Once it gets to a certain size, you need to eat that shit with your hands. You're not going to be mixing it. It's going to be apple, whatever the fuck you're serving.
Well, different story. If I'm serving like a peel and eat shrimp, of course I'm going to leave the stuff on there.
It doesn't have to be a fucking a cocktail, a shrimp cocktail, to be served with the tail on.
You should come in here and just start saying cock just for the hell of it.
Cockety cock, fucking cock, but still, cocktails.
Cock, 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 cock. The doodle doo.
Well, it seems like the poll is actually way closer than I thought. Still at 41-59. I thought for sure it would be a landslide, but it's interesting to see. Ironically, it's a lot of you know, I'm followed by a lot of bloggers and like non-professional cooks, but food people. What are you laughing at?
I see where you're going, motherfucker.
What are you talking about, Jeffy? they tend to think that stuff looks okay. You know, but these are people who aren't professionals that I would expect a different answer from. But, you know, to each your own, I guess, right? I mean, just don't put the fucking rosemary sprig on my plate.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Dan, you went to culinary school, right?
Yep.
Plum, you went to culinary school?
CIA. I did, chef.
CIA, what?
All right. What? Frank, did you go to culinary school?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you're the anomaly, because I know Dave didn't go to culinary school, and neither did I. So I was thinking maybe it's like he might be onto something. Us, like, not classically trained dudes are easier, like, we're, like, you know, a little more wild.
Wait, hang on a second. Frank, what culinary school did you go to?
Johnson & Wales.
Oh.
That's legit.
Yeah.
When all else fails, there's Johnson & Wales.
You can suck it there.
Did you go for, like, transmission or something?
I was hoping you'd even go with that. I was like, nah, you ain't going to pull that out.
He's like, nope, with all those fails, there's Johnson & Wales. You can major in culinary arts right next to a classroom with someone majoring in equestrianship.
That is not true.
It's 100% true, bro.
Can I just tell you something? That's a tough skill.
It's a what?
It was a different
equestrianship is a real skill.
What?
Being a horse person.
Yeah, I know, Jeffy. That's you can't bring up. I know that. It's the dichotomy of the different types of classes is the point. I'm not shitting on equestrianship. My kids ride horses.
No, you're shitting on
unless we're eating a horse.
Yes, Frank is correct.
Equestrianship is along with agriculture and things like that. You know, husbandry, animal husbandry.
Also, the course brand new available at When All Else Fails, Johnson & Wales, pom pom making. You can be a major in pom pom making.
No one told me this when I was wanting to go to college.
I don't know. They leave these things out. Pom pom making is definitely a class you could do, which is pretty fun.
Oh my god! I just found my pizza peel.
Have you done it?
Frankie had to take it when he was in culinary school. They make him do a few electives.
Yes.
What were your electives, Frank?
Pom-pom twirling.
I give him credit for going with the bit.
Yeah. Pom-pom twirling.
That's right. That's right. Hey, also, too, just a little PSA for everybody. If you're checking out Seasoned on WNPR tomorrow, you know, Jeffy, who hosts that show, right?
Dude, the celebrity Chef Plum, our good friend.
Hey,
fucking amazing.
I'm about to say celebrity Chef Plum, but your boy Chef Plum is the host of that program. Tomorrow is going to be a rerun, friends. We have to do a couple of reruns. I think we have to do 5 reruns a year. Tomorrow is a rerun. But it's a great episode talking all about ocean farming, so get in there and check that one out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And I did some fun shit today. Big shout out to my new friends over at Sono. Sorry, I don't know what happened there, except for my drink went down the wrong pipe. That was terrible. Excuse me. It's Sono 1420. This place is awesome. Great spirits down in Lower Connecticut, man. I tell you what, it's one of those things where I want to get all you good brothers to come up one of these days, and we spend 2 days and just go to all these places I found doing these shows and shit, because this place is amazing. They make all these great, great spirits, but they all have CBD, and they're made from hemp.
I love it.
It's pretty fucking dope, dude.
I'm in. I know many farmers.
I know you do. Well, listen, I think that we've all decided that I was correct here with this, and non-functional garner shouldn't be a thing, and we are going to take that, and we're going to change the world, and the rest of the world will follow exactly as I say, that don't ever use it. I'm glad we all agree on that, so thank you for that, gentlemen.
You're welcome. Dude. I don't know, man.
Yes. I agree.
There we go. That's good. Jeffy, did you see that?
We're doing 100%.
Look, no. Don's over here talking like he agrees, but you have 3 against 2.
Frank doesn't count.
Why does
he count?
He then took why did we pom-pom bring him on? Making.
You brought him on to break the tie.
Entertainment value. I'm actually kidding. I love Frank's opinion. Frank's actually a very underrated chef. I think he's actually very good at some things he does. I've seen some great stuff from him. The pineapple fucking shrimp thing was weird, but other than
right,
that.
All right, all right, with the pineapple thing. Was,
it's going to be a while before that one goes away.
Yeah, no, it's gonna go away. Frankie, I wanted you to know, too, our good friend Cinnamon, who we're going to shout out here in 2 seconds, I did a little interview piece for him with him last night. He's a chef on a sub for the Navy. And
yeah.
Really amazing human being. We're doing a Thanksgiving show, and I did an interview with him.
He's an adorable pink Mexican.
He's fantastic. But he's about to ship off again here shortly for 3 months and be gone. And we talked last night, and he listens to the show pretty regularly. And he said to me last night, "You got to have that Frank guy on again. I love that guy. He's so fucking funny." So,
oh, awesome.
So his name is Cinnamon. Cinnamon, there's Frankie for you. Frankie loves Cinnamon too.
Frankie loves Cinnamon too.
Hey, Cinnamon.
Hey, quick, while we're on it, though, quick shout out to our good brother Aaron, aka Cinnamon, about to ship out. Man, he's gonna be gone from his family. Won't be around for the holidays. He'll be 7,000 feet under the ocean floor, saving the world. We love you, buddy. We're thankful you're our friend. We're thankful that you're out there saving the world. We feel like it's a better place with you in it. So please be safe. Come back to us, and when you're done, and it's all said and done. You got your good brothers here looking after you, man. We'll get you some good work. So go save the world, and we'll see you when you get back. Shout out to Cinnamon.
Love you, Cinnamon. Love you, Aaron. Be safe, brother.
Shout out to him. Dan, you got nothing? It's a fellow fucking serviceman. You're not even saying anything?
Well, no, I mean, I didn't want to talk over everybody. Yeah, yo, that's my dude. Aaron's my man, yo. Yo, serviceman for life. We go way back, you know what I'm saying?
He's shipping out, again.
We all done cut from the same cloth. Yeah, no, it's yo, that Navy shit, I swear to God, I couldn't do it. I'd rather be out in the woods with motherfuckers. I can't be on that submarine. More power to them, because that shit's crazy. We were on that sub. We went in that sub, and I was like, nah, fuck this shit.
Hell yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, it's pretty intense, man.
All day, yo.
If you think about it, it's pretty crazy. If you think about just where food's taken us in a few couple of short years we've all been hanging out, like, we were on a submarine.
Yeah, we were.
Like, we could have driven it. Somehow.
I don't know if we could have done that.
I was surprised to see the Nintendo controller for the... it wasn't like a steering wheel. It was a Nintendo controller. Not the new shit.
Xbox.
Old school. No, Nintendo. It was like the old school. A, B, select, start, and the D-pad. That's all it had.
Damn. I thought it had two. I thought it had the R1 and R2 buttons, too.
I wasn't quite Super Nintendo. All it had was that.
I swore it was more of an Xbox controller. I swear.
Yo, but... shout out to Cinnamon, man. Be safe, brother. We love you, and we'll talk to you when you get back. So I feel bad for him, gentlemen. He's doing Thanksgiving on the ship for the boys while they're out at sea this year. So, you know, he's gonna cook for 120 gentlemen.
Absolutely. Yo, he's an amazing dude, man, to be able to do that shit.
Right?
To be able to cook for that many people and to keep your shit together. You know, he's also, like, the surgeon or something aboard the boat, like, or like they're like the assistant surgeon or some crazy shit like that. Like, everybody does, like, they all do like two things, you know. I'm not sure if he is actually that, but I mean, you know, he has like some other crazy job on the boat too. It's like he's a dope dude, man. All those guys, man, shout out to all the fucking Navy and the service dudes, man.
No, should we be talking about doing something for them again, or do you think COVID will stand in the way there, Dan?
I don't know, man. Honestly, you can't even tell because people have different standards of what they're willing to do.
I know that Cinnamon has been quarantined on his sub for 2 weeks before they went out.
Oh shit! I mean, I guess that makes sense because you don't want to bring it on the sub.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave. What were you saying?
I just said that sucks. Yeah. Like, you're getting quarantined before you're getting quarantined.
I think we should take some time, see what happens, and then we definitely should do something again with the Navy because that was a lot of fun. That was good times.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, that was good times, sure.
That was awesome. That was very, very cool. You know, so one of the other things I want to talk about tonight a little bit before we get some news stories. Jeff, you got some news for us tonight, right?
Hell yeah, I got some news, man. There's a lot of shit going on in the world, especially in the food world. We got some cool things
Cool. Well, we'll keep this segment short then because our non-functional garnish went for 45 minutes, which I did not expect.
Yeah, because it's a heated debate, and it's like right down the middle. It's a 50-50.
No, it's actually 41-59, according to the poll. We asked the internet.
But you know what? By Electoral College, we would have won. So
What? No, we would have won.
No, that doesn't. No, we got the big stakes.
Fuck your feelings.
We got the big stakes.
We got the big stakes.
Yeah, but Plum's calling the shots. So
sometimes young David is very funny. We don't give him enough credit.
What's beeping?
That's Dave's pacemaker.
It's not my pace.
Microwave and burritos.
I know. That's what it sounds like too. I'm like,
Frank, are you microwaving some shit?
Oh, it's me. I'm making a pizza that resembles a Detroit casserole.
Oh, good. Sounds delicious.
Good for you.
The trick is your microwave has to get to 900 degrees.
No, I got a pizza pan. What do you call it? The pizza stone.
In your microwave?
In the microwave?
No, to my oven. Yes.
Oh, all right. So I want to talk a little bit as we get closer to Halloween time, gentlemen. You know, last year, this whole month of October, we had some scary shit on. We talked ghosts and goblins. We had the dude from the Annabelle doll. And, of course, we met our good brother and good friend now, David Weatherly. A great meet. He's actually back on the show. Is it next week, Jeffy?
That's right. Next week, the esoteric master himself, David Weatherly.
Yeah.
From Eerie Lights.
Fucking guy's amazing. So if you guys want to get down, you know, let me know if you have any questions. If any of the good brothers want to get on the show and talk to him, of course, you know you're always welcome. We'll put that out on Instagram. We'll start that early next week, too. We'll just put it out there. If you have questions for David Weatherly on the Instagram, Jeffy, we can get him out there. Maybe put some on the voicemail machine.
Both. Yeah, I think we should definitely get some people to call in and also maybe do another poll or something like that.
You mean David, the Plum Love Foods Live biggest poll on the internet?
Well, exactly. The biggest poll on the internet is going to have to weigh in on something esoteric, creepy for Halloween.
It's going to be heavy. It's going to be heavy. Well, I thought it'd be fun to talk about here just a couple of quick, short kitchen horror stories before we get into the news for the night. And, you know, because we've all had some terrible shit happen to us in the kitchen. And I know I've got some great stories, one of which... I mean, and these stories could also be like injuries. They could be like just awful shit happening in a kitchen. You know, I'm trying to decide which one I should tell, Jeffy. Should I tell an injury story, Jeffy, or should I tell like an awful thing happened and I watched it happen story?
Let's hear some awful shit.
All right. I was very, very young, gentlemen, and I was working in Applebee's. On West Broad Street, Applebee's at Willow Lawn. And I had gone from being a server to being a cook. I was in the back, brand new, working the fry station. There were some guys in the kitchen who I knew. They were kind of all the same college, fraternity situation. And one of the gentlemen was working their saute station, the mid station. You know, he ran the two microwaves in the middle, not the one on each other station. So... a woman, it was about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. The kitchen closed at 11 or whatever. This is 1996, probably. This woman came barreling into the kitchen, very upset about one of the things that she had ordered. And it turns out that she had just actually ordered the wrong thing and it was all like for naught. And she came and screamed at the kitchen. And this gentleman who I worked with and was kind of a friend of mine was working that one section in the middle, that kind of lead area in the kitchen. And it's the only time I've ever seen this happen. And Jeff, you've told some terrible stories about this kind of shit, but he took her food, spit the biggest loogie I've ever seen on it, flipped it upside down, microwaved it, and sent it back out to her. It was so disturbing to me. I was like, yo, that's some fucked up shit to do to some people right there, man. I can't even deal with it to this day. I still think about it. I'm like, that's fucked up. I have never in my life fucked with anybody's food, Dan. I won't do it, man.
Yeah, nah. I can't stand that shit. I saw that shit on that movie once. It was the only time I'd never seen anyone around me do it, because they probably know I would have smacked them upside their goddamn head.
Right. That's not right. But Jeffy, you've seen some terrible shit too, right?
Yeah, man. And I'm vindictive, and I hate people.
Wait, what are you? What are you? What's that word?
I'm vindictive.
Alright, you're vindictive. Vindictive.
And I get angry at people who shit on me and possibly, allegedly, have maybe fucked with somebody's food.
Oh, yo.
As a child, as a young man. Not now. I mean, I'm an adult. I have no reason to do that kind of shit.
I'm still fucked up, man.
Yeah, it was real fucked up, man. But I was working in a pizzeria like 14 hours a day, and I hated cops, you know, allegedly. And I get high, and shit happens.
What about you, Frankie? Have you ever seen some terrible shit? Like, what's a kitchen horror story for you? And now, actually, it's funny because I thought about you when I was having you on the program with us hanging out tonight. I was watching some clips of you from Hell's Kitchen not too long ago. When you were at the finale and that dude fucking kicked you out of the kitchen, I felt so bad for you.
I didn't even know you fucking speak just now. I blanked out.
What? The hell did he just say?
What's going on?
I just heard you start from Hell's Kitchen and I get out on the finale.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We'll come back to Frankie in a minute. He's busy making his fucking pizza. Dave, kitchen horror stories, man. I mean, besides just you being in the kitchen, what's a terrible story?
I've seen someone fall into the rinse sink when it was, like, full of hot-ass water and degreaser.
How the fuck do you fall into a rinse sink?
They slid. Like, they were getting this rack, like, above it. They were cleaning something, and it slid and, like, fell into it.
That doesn't seem that bad.
Nah, man, that water was hot as fuck. Like, it was...
I mean, look, like, the water don't get no hotter than 212 degrees, bro.
That's, you know, that's hot enough.
It ain't that damn hot, because it can't boil in the sink.
Well, it still took, like, most of the skin off his leg.
Ain't no fucking water burn take a skin off your body.
It did. It might have been the greaser. Yeah.
Come on, somebody talk to him.
Yo, I don't know about that. I've seen that happen. I've seen wounds like that. I seen, like, somebody dump a fucking pot of, like, the boiling water at the end of the night from the Rondo with the you know, with all the fucking things in it.
Right.
Dump it into the sink, and there was a small pot in the sink, and all the water shot up out and landed in this kid's shoe. And the kid was new, and he was, like, didn't speak English well, and he fucking worked all night long, like, for the rest of the night, and then came in the next day and was all fucked up. We had to take him to the hospital because his foot was, like, fucked. Because he just, like, he, like, cooked his fucking shit
from
in
water.
His clog. Yeah, like, hot, like, boiling water. It was the shit that was on the stove all night long. Damn, and they, like, went to pour it in the sink, and it shot in his shoe. And the motherfucker worked, like, through it. I was like, yo, man, you're a G.
Damn. All right, Dave, I stand corrected. I guess that's a thing. I didn't think the water could burn you that bad. I thought we were talking, like, 400 or 500 degrees to actually hurt the skin.
What?
I mean, listen,
ow.
I'm not saying it hurt the skin. Like, look, if you get boiling water hits you, it hurts. But it's not going to leave, like, 4th-3rd-degree burns, I didn't think.
It fucks you up.
But it will definitely leave you 3rd-degree.
Oh, Frank's back.
Trying to figure out the relevance of my Hell's Kitchen here.
Well, I was trying to. You're 45 feet away from your microphone. You got to get closer to the microphone.
Oh.
Frank.
It's your first time?
Get the dick out of your mouth, Frank.
I'm over here now. Go ahead.
There you go. Listen to this beautiful guy.
Oh, this guy. Frankie, I was saying we're talking about kitchen horror stories because we're getting close to Halloween. Things that are terrible that have happened, whether it's an injury, whether it's just a terrible situation. And I was watching a clip from you, and you know I got nothing but love for you. But it was a finale of Hell's Kitchen. I'm not sure which season it was, but you were there. And you were in the kitchen in the finale of Hell's Kitchen where they bring back the other competitors to cook in the finale with the two finalists. Oh. You were there, and then you were fucking up the garnish or something, and the dude ended up kicking you out of the kitchen.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
But his food, and I didn't get injured, so I don't understand the relevance.
Oh my god!
What,
Frank?
What did I do?
This is what happens when you fucking leave the room, Frank, all right? Just sit
you're
down,
not listening.
Fucking see something relevant and then jump back in.
We're telling stories, Frankie. We're telling stories about terrible things in the kitchen that's happened. I was putting a tee ball. No, I wasn't even pitching a slow pitch. I was putting it on a tee for you so you could hit a home run with that.
Oh, no. I was thinking about the kid that burnt his face off.
What?
That's where I was.
Dave's story?
No, I had a story all warmed up for you.
Oh, all right.
Oh,
well,
tell it.
Tell
please.
It.
Enlighten us.
Enlighten us.
Frank, tell us your story. We're all waiting. Hold on a second. I'll even hear us. Clear the board.
Staten Island.
Quiet. Like, here we go. It's Frankie Story Time with Chef Frank. When you want a great story, you come to the one, the only Chef Frank Bellotti for a great story. It's Story Time with Chef Frank Bellotti. Here's Frankie.
Oh, come on, guys. I didn't need that intro.
You're the only one that got one. That was good.
But you liked it.
Really good one. Yeah, I did like it, but now the story's not as good as the intro was.
All right, tell the story.
I don't know. The kid wanted to warm up bread.
It's Story Time with Chef Frankie. Chef Frank Bellotti's got stories about the kitchen, and he's telling them to you right now on From the Food Live. Here's Frankie.
I hate you so much.
Here's Frankie. All right. Dan, give us one, man. What do you got?
Back to me.
I just sip my whiskey over here. I'm about to spit that shit all over my fucking laptop. You're killing me, man. All right, I'm going to change. I have horror stories where people slipped in water and burned themselves. I've seen all kinds of fucked up shit. People cutting their fucking fingers off and shit. But a horror story for me within the last year was I was getting ready for Christmas. It's a big, heavy day for us. It's really busy, and I only have a few like dishes that I can kind of go outside the box because a lot of people expect very cookie cutter type Christmas things. But I was doing a real nice duck cassoulet, and I got these ducks in. I broke them down. I cut them all up. Took the bones in, made this real beautiful stock after I roasted the bones, nice. Roasted the veg, had it beautiful, cooking on the stove, left it on, told the bakery, because now we're running a 24-hour kitchen, so somebody's always there, left it overnight. I come back the next day, my pot is gone.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, to the bakers, I'm like, yo, I told you guys that I had this pot on, you guys see it? No, I didn't see it. Look over at the dishwasher. He's like, oh, basura. That's Spanish for garbage.
Uh-huh.
I was like, huh? What you mean? You threw my stock in the garbage. This was the 23rd, and we have to have everything done by the 24th, and we ain't getting duck from anywhere.
Oh,
so I had to kind of figure some shit out real quick, break down some legs and you know, add some roasted chicken bones in there and try to come back with something. I wanted to kill this dude. The nightmare would have been him, me strangling the motherfucker.
Cause no, you make stock out of the dishwasher. It's dishwasher stock.
Yo, dishwasher stock for real. I wanted to break this dude's leg. I was so mad. And he's like, he's a real old guy. He's been doing this shit his entire life. And I'm just like, I want to break you
That's
in half
terrible.
Right now, but
That's
I
terrible.
Was fucking pissed.
Hey, stop throwing shit away before you know what it is, all right? Ask somebody.
I would have made him show me.
I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Yo, I had to. That was not fun.
All right.
That was horrific.
Yo, Frankie, are you ready to tell your story yet? We got to move on to the news.
No, we're going on to the news.
It's story time. All right. All right.
That was great.
Well, Jeffy, you got a couple of news stories, right? Is that what the rumor is?
The rumor has it.
Well, when there's news stories from Jeffy, I've got something for you. Are you ready?
Do it.
The news that matters to you. It's the news with Jeffy. Go fuck yourself.
All right, it's that news time with Jeffy. He's got some stories for the good brothers here. The faction sitting around the table talking news, talking garnish, talking all about horror stories. And, of course, talking CSI Miami with our good friend, Chef Frankie. Jeffy, when it comes to news, you're our go-to guy. You're out there in the streets. You got the pulse of the country, the pulse of the world, beating in your ear, finding out what's happening out there. Jeffy, what's going on in the world?
Well, in USANews.com, I found this story where I thought it was really cool. Pennsylvania's governor, Governor Wolf, has announced a plan to offer $20 million in relief to his state's beleaguered hospitality industry.
Wow. Not bad. So giving $20 million back to a fund or something?
Yeah, $20 million into the states, to the fund. For it's there are 1,600 restaurants and bars, caterers, hotels, and he's hoping that this $20 million
he's gonna help 20 of them. Good for him.
Oh man, that was really shitty.
$20 million is not a lot of money, Jeffy, for Alden Restaurants.
Nah, man, it's not.
I mean,
but it's coming from the state, which I thought was pretty cool.
Listen, that's cool.
He's looking for another $100 million.
You know, there you go.
Yeah, well, you know what it is.
I mean, he gives each restaurant. Let's say he gives each restaurant $500,000. I don't know what. And he's doing 40 restaurants for a year. I don't know. Like, you guys know how numbers work. I mean, $1 million sounds like a lot of money until you're running a restaurant and you realize that's not actually a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, he's
liquor fees, liquor license fees as well.
Yep, he's waiving fees.
Right. Liquor, I barely know her, Frankie, right? Come on, get some. All right.
He's trying to do a bunch of different things to really work with restaurants, and he's like, he really has come out and been really outspoken talking about how the restaurant industry is really the backbone of like Pennsylvania's economy and all this other stuff, which I thought was really cool. But anyway, that's the whole story.
Yo, shout out to him though. Shout out to them for thinking about it and looking out. I think that's great. At least they're doing something,
which I thought was pretty tough.
I mean, I think that's great. You know, chiming in here on the instant feedback, Mike Stye from Ergo Chef is talking about the state of Connecticut is giving $5,000 grants to businesses, which is, you know, that's cool too. I just, you know, if you've got a payroll in a restaurant, I mean, not being a dick, $5,000 doesn't go a long way.
A $5,000 grant will get you almost the whole website.
We're such assholes.
Which is what we need to really do right now. We have to pivot. Everybody needs to pivot.
Sure. Sure.
Pivot from home. Get home, put on your mask, and, you know, pivot.
I love it. I love it. Jeffy, what else you got? What else you got for us in the news, brother?
All right. Well, another said this one hits a little close to home. I feel like for about half of us, and I thought it was a very interesting story. Michelin-starred chefs are leaving their jobs to become private chefs for the ultra rich.
Oh, they can make no shit!
And listen to this, Plum. It's going to make you rethink of what you're getting paid. Ready? Where they can make upwards of $14,000 a month.
How much?
$14,000 a month. Huh. This story came out yesterday on Business Insider.
I mean, are they late to the party, Jeffy? What the fuck? I mean, are we as private chefs now finally getting some respect?
This is the thing, is I think that it's not even that private chefs are starting to get respect. I think that with COVID and the fear of going out to restaurants and stuff like that, a lot of restaurants are starting to close, and a lot of really wealthy people are wanting to eat home more and more and more. So now they're looking to pay what some of these guys want to kind of sell out. You know, it's like getting Led Zeppelin to play, you know, Ford jingles.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're too far off there. I mean, a good private chef gig, I mean, obviously, if you have experience, those numbers can fluctuate. But, you know, a good private chef gig, 4 days a week, 5 days a week, something like that. I mean, you should probably be making between, I don't know, what do you think, Jeffy? I think it's about right, $10,000, $14,000 a month, somewhere in the neighborhood.
Listen, it depends on how much you're working and the family you're working for. You know, right. What I mean? Some people are, you know, you can make well above that. You know, there's people who make $20,000 a month.
Oh, I got some of those on the show.
Yeah, I mean, but they, you know, it's just a matter of where you're at and what you want to do.
Well, I love that they're getting respect and talking about it. I mean, look, Dave, as a restaurant guy, you hear these stories and make you kind of rethink what you're doing.
No, I mean, like, at the end of it, I don't really have to like interact with the people I cook with unless I want to. I'm more focused on just cooking.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for that price difference, I'll interact with anybody you want me to.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. I mean, I like being in restaurants.
Fair enough. That's good. Frankie, what about you, man? You come from the restaurant world, doing the private gig now. It's kind of nice to finally get some respect and national publications, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I miss the restaurant action, but I don't miss what's going on right now.
Yeah,
me either. So, yeah.
I mean, I know here in my state of Connecticut, I mean, they just went to the next phase where they can now at least have 75% capacity inside the restaurants, which thankfully that's great. But, you know, it's a struggle, and I feel bad for him, Jeffy.
I do, too. It's I mean, it's what it is right now. It's like people can't make it happen. Not everybody can seat, you know, 50 people outside. They can seat 8 or 15, and, you know, then they're also trying to do takeout, and it's not the same, and it's not the same experience, you know? I mean, if you're used to going someplace and getting pampered by a maitre d' and getting great wine and having this whole experience,
right,
and now you're going there and getting shit in fucking plastic containers and taking it home, not the same.
Ooh.
It's not the fucking same, and it sucks, and it sucks for those restaurants, and it sucks for that, what's going on right now, you know? It's really hard, and it's hard, and I think people are having a hard time continuing to support sometimes because it's a different experience, you know? It's like everything gets old.
I could have been working at, you know this, you and I have talked off the air, of course, because believe it or not, Jeffy and I are friends off the air. I mean, dude, I've been working every weekend since our summer season ended, and I could still be working if I wanted to. I'm turning gigs down because I need a couple weekends to not work.
Yeah. That's what it's about, though. You gotta find the balance as a private chef. That's the hardest thing, at least for me, because... Yeah. Your clients are always wanting a little bit more, and the more you have a family, the more you have to draw lines in the sand. Like, hey guys, I need this time, and this is what I need, and you know. And when you get a good family that you can work for and jive with, it's awesome.
Unless you find that white rhino, you know.
Yeah,
I'm lucky that I have a fantastic client who they treat me great, and I love them, and it's a really really good situation. So they're out there. Yeah, I look for them.
I'm cynical because, I mean, I always say this to everybody. Like, don't get comfortable and just remember that it's not a matter of how, it's just a matter of when, you know, because it's just like it always ends up happening for some stupid reason.
Right.
That's
not a stability.
I mean, that's just me being a cynical shithead, too. You know, that's what
did you post the other day that I love? You posted something about the luxury, the way you were.
Oh, I know what he's talking about, Jeffy. You did post something pretty cool.
Yeah, I got that Aaron out west. Or what's her name? She's on Instagram.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Aaron. Yeah. I got to look her up. I can't remember. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Aaron is like down with your cook. Anyway, she posted it. It was basically like a private chef is a luxury. Pay accordingly. And it just been over and over and over and over and over. And I just think that's so true. I'm so tired of like explaining to people why private chefs want what they want, and it's like we're in a pandemic. They're willing to come to your house, risk themselves, risk, you know, wear all this extra shit, mask, gloves, be around your family, be safe, and do it in your home. And they're gonna cook their ass. And you know, it's like it's so obnoxious to me to have to explain that to someone who will pay $75 to each person on their landscaping crew who's like mowing the lawn or whatever.
Right.
And you know, oh, those fucking guys aren't getting that $75. They're getting 20 if they're lucky.
Right.
And then some guys are collecting the rest of it. And it's like, they're happy to pay that, but they're not happy to pay a private chef what they're worth. And that bothers me sometimes. Not everybody, but some clients are hard.
Man, I think you're preaching there, man. You're preaching like a champion. Jeffy, what are the news stories you got for us?
Oh, well, my next one is a fun one. Oh. There's a 24-year-old young man who basically, I thought it was kind of funny, he figured out track every McDonald's ice cream machine in the United States. And it's fucking broken, right? You know, that's like a thing. Like, I don't know. You ever go to McDonald's ice cream or a McFlurry?
Oh, I saw this.
What?
I saw this on YouTube. I saw it.
So on YouTube, yeah. So
Jeffy, he said he saw it.
I saw it.
No, not you. Frankie saw it.
Did you get touched by Cropsy?
All right, look. So what are the ice cream machines? You can track them?
So there's a site. It's mcbroken.com.
Oh, my God.
MCbroken, you know, all one word, .com. And it's like a giant world map. And he literally, somehow, he like... back, I don't know, how, what do you say, back engineered, like reverse engineered,
right.
A McDonald's site that was for like how you can order food anywhere in the world from any one of their sites.
Okay.
And figured out somehow to like, you know, see whether their fucking ice cream machine works or not. And it's like hilarious. It's more than half are fucking gone. Like they're all, there's like so many red dots.
Yeah, but they're not really broken. Majority of them are too lazy to make a shake to clean it. I mean, they don't want to clean it.
They don't want to clean it. They don't want to refill it. But yeah. It's pretty funny. I thought it was pretty fucking funny. And it kind of tells you a lot of data about what's going on in certain McDonald's.
I mean, do we need data from McDonald's? Or
I don't know. It's interesting.
McDonald's. Dave, you've been quiet for a long time. Can you chime in here?
Well, for one, to fill the McDonald's machine, that shit's easy. It's just a bag that clicks in. But I think it's like 4 a.m. They all break down, so everybody cleans them pretty much.
Dan, McDonald's ice cream machines, do you give a fuck?
I don't give a motherfuck. I've never had a McDonald's fucking McFlurry bullshit.
Whoa. You know,
I ain't had a chicken fucking nugget in, I don't know, maybe 30 years.
Whoa.
Fuck McDonald's. Whoa. Fuck that Big M. Fuck Croc and his bitch ass. Fuck them all.
Wow. Fucking, I didn't expect that intensity coming out of him, Jeffy.
Dan, it makes me angry when you talk like that.
I mean,
I want that. Dun, 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 dun.
Look, sometimes the driving home late night, you got to stop where you got to stop, and you can get yourself a little something. And, I mean, listen, McDonald's fries, they're pretty delicious.
McDonald's fries are what, did you say?
Pretty delicious.
Oh, hold on a second.
They're good.
Damn it.
Ham! Did you say ham? He's so proud of himself.
Nah.
All right, Jeffy, we got time for one more news story, man. What do you got?
Hey. I got... I have the top 10 food trends of 2021, according to Whole Foods.
All right, give us, like... We can't go through 10. We'll be here all day with fucking five chefs on the phone.
Well, we got to talk about a couple of these, because this is fucking ridiculous.
All right, go for it. It's a whole segment in itself.
All right. It's a whole segment in itself.
I mean, no, give us.
I should have led with this one.
Well, yeah, but tell us the ones that really stick out to you.
The ones that stick out to me? Fermented foods. Still super popular, but, like, not just kimchi now. It's like, now it's like designer kraut.
That's true. I've seen that. I've seen some of that. Dan, do you have any of this stuff in your store?
I make my own kraut. I make it and I sell it. Sauerkraut, kimchi, sriracha, ferment it myself, sell it.
My own kraut.
That's true. Frankie, you ever fermented sauerkraut?
No, I haven't personally.
Have you ever fermented anything?
Not intentionally.
All right. Frankie, have you ever made a red sauce?
Well, with tomatoes?
Dave, fermenting, you ever done any?
I've made, like, kombucha before, but okay. That's not...
That's fermenting.
Yeah, well, like, you gotta make that SCOBY, and that's where all that crazy shit comes from.
All right.
Yeah.
What else sticks out to you, Jeffy?
Another one that I thought was crazy that's going to be a big trend, they say, is plant jerky. So look for mushroom, jackfruit, mango, and banana jerkies.
Hey. I had a terrible joke. I'm not going to say it about myself, another human being, and a banana jerky.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Frank, you know what's
Hold
up.
Hold on.
I have an idea where you're going with that.
I mean, they got dried fruits. It's just dried fruit. I mean,
yeah.
Is it really life changing?
Banana jerky.
You put it in a dehydrator.
It sounds like it should be like an Andrew Dice Clay like punchline to a joke. Banana jerky.
She needed the money.
You know what I mean?
Frank's over there touching himself. He's laughing. Frank's peeing himself. He's laughing so hard at me right now. He can't contain it.
Absolutely.
All right. The next shitty thing that I see that is a trend, because so far they're shitty trends, I got to tell you right now. None of these trends are good.
Let's hear it.
Everyone I see pisses me off. And it's like, it's the whole I want to go through all of them because they're going to piss you guys off too. Like, ready for this one? Hot takes on old classics. That's a new trend. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, suck this, right?
Never heard that before.
Yeah, so basically, the basics aren't so basic. Samples, they offer things like applewood, smoked salt, or Meyer lemon.
Oh.
So what they're doing is they're adding adjectives and then selling it to you again. Bruh.
Wow. I mean, that's kind of genius. People will buy that shit.
Doesn't it piss you off a little bit, though?
Yeah. I'm not buying it.
And then, like, another one that's bothering me, it says, upgrading the oil. And it's like, but oil isn't included in the hot takes on old classics because it's getting its own trend. All kinds of oils are finding their way into the kitchen in various food products. Whole Foods suggests looking for pumpkin seed, walnut, as well as tortillas and salad dressings made with sunflower seed oil.
Wait, Jeffy, did you say tortillas?
Yeah.
Wow. Listen, that's all fantastic stuff right there. That's the news with Jeffy, and I'm trying to find my drop for it because, you know, we have a news with Jeffy. We have to play this.
Yeah. The news that matters to you. It's the news with Jeffy. Go fuck yourself.
Yo, I'm going to tell you boys something right now. It felt good tonight. I think we solved a lot of the world's problems tonight here on this very program when it comes to food. Don't you think so, Dan?
Every time we have a microphone, problems are solved.
That's... Fuck yeah. That's the t-shirt right there, Jeffy.
That's the next t-shirt. I'm with that.
That's it right there. Yo, big shout out to Chef Frank Bilotti joining us here on the program tonight. Frankie, we love you. Appreciate it, buddy. I miss you. Dave, same thing. Love you. Miss you, buddy. Thanks for hanging out with us. Chef Dan, as always, pleasure. We appreciate you being here. Jeffy, these fucking roundtable shows, I was worried about having enough content. I mean, we could keep going. I mean, you still got 7 other things you could talk about, but we're an hour and 37 minutes in. It's time to wrap this up.
Absolutely. Let's put a bow in this, baby.
That's it right there. Big shout out to Dama Beats, who's gave us this one here. This is a damn good fucking song. You know, I have to do it really quick, man. I want to do it, and no one knew I was going to do this. They're going to yell at me. But big shout-out to Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen, passing away, icon. Literally, one of the reasons I play guitar is because of Eddie Van Halen. Just iconic. I'm bringing it up because it made me rediscover Van Halen ever since he died. So shout-out, rest in power, my friend. I hope that the next life is as good to you as this life, and your music will live on and on forever. For Jeffy, for Frank, for Chef Dan, for Chef Dave, I'm Chef Plum. You've been checking out Plum Love Foods Live. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food, and we'll see you guys next week.
Ha, 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 ha.